اوكي بسم الله، ان الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. اما بعد، so this this is the next hadith, again going through the hadith about Iman, Kitab al-Iman, the book of Iman. Okay, so the topic, the chapter heading today is ingratitude to one's husband, and disbelief is of different grades, or kufr dun kufr. It's a lesser degree of kufr. So hadith number 27, narrated by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, qala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, uritu an-nar fa idha aktharu ahliha an-nisa yakfurun, qila ayakfurna billah, qala yakfurna al-ashir wa yakfurna al-ihsan, law ahsanta ila ihdahunna ad-dahr thumma ra'at minka shay'an qalat ما رأيت منك خيرا قط. So the Prophet ﷺ said, I was shown the hellfire and that the majority of its inhabitants were women who were ungrateful, or yakfurna, literally they committed kufr. It was asked, did they disbelieve in Allah, or are they ungrateful to Allah? He replied, they are ungrateful to their husbands and are ungrateful for the favors and the good done to them. If one has always been good to one of them, and she saw something which she did not like, she will say, I have never received or never had any good from you, never seen any good from you. Okay. So the actual wording which Bukhari uses is kufr duna kufr, the kufr less than kufr. Okay. So how is that relevant to the hadith then? Any idea? And what can you take from the hadith? Yeah, okay, yeah, good. Exactly, yeah. So disbelief is of different grades. Anything else that we can take from it then?
Does the word kufr mean ungratefulness and disbelief, depending on how it's used, as in this hadith?
Yeah. So yakfurana, literally, if you look it up in the dictionary, kufr is ingratitude. But yes, obviously, shar'an, it means disbelief. Or in this context, it's referring to disbelief. Okay. Any other points, sir? Obviously, kufr is the ultimate, kufr to Allah is the ultimate ingratitude, if you like. Yeah. Anything else connect? Because the Prophet obviously gave the example of hellfire. Is there anything we can get from that point? And we've probably touched on this concept before as well. Will they, for example, be, how long would they be in hellfire for if this happened to a particular woman? Exactly, yeah. So it's a temporary. So the major sins, potentially, or the threat is that one can be punished in the hellfire, but it's not permanently in the hellfire. Okay, that's good, yeah. Okay, so the points again, to go back to what Sheikh Abdul Razak said. So the chapter is kufr al-ashir, or being ungrateful to one's husband, and kufr duna kufr. And this is a phrase which actually the companions, I think it was Ibn Abbas, if I remember right, he used this phrase in a different situation. But the thing is that in many texts, many hadith, that, or you know, the word kufr is used, okay? But you've got to see the context, and oftentimes it may refer to lesser kufr. So we'll come on to that, okay? But this shows how serious it is, how serious a matter it is to deny a husband's good treatment. And so if someone does that, then that's a deficit in iman, okay? And that can result in punishment in the hellfire. And the flip side of the coin, obviously these things are always opposite. So showing gratitude to one's husband is from iman, okay? Is part of iman as well, okay? Again, the phrase I mentioned is kufr dun kufr, lesser kufr. So that indicates that there's major kufr, which takes you out of someone out of Islam, okay, or kufr al akbar, major kufr, that's something which takes you out of Islam, and al kufr al asghar, or lesser kufr, which is a major sin, a very severe matter, but it's not something which takes someone outside Islam, okay. And the other examples, as I said, in various texts and in hadith as well, where the Prophet used the word kufr or the verb yakfur, for example. But even from the context of the hadith, actually, you can tell that it's not kufr that takes you outside Islam, okay? So do you know any examples in the hadith? Perhaps you possibly may have heard of an example in the hadith or in the Quran even, where the word kufr is used.
Yeah. The dialogue between Fir'aun and Musa. Fir'aun being ungrateful. Initially being in custody.
Okay, I don't remember that. I actually, but actually, it's things which are sins, actually, so things which are clearly in the context of sins, but are not actually, considered fully fledged disbelief.
The hadith about the person that steals another time steals. He's not a believer, but he didn't use the word kufr.
Well, that actually supports our position, if you like. So that's a refutation of those who say, well, this is kufr, this is, but that shows that actually that's not the case. So actually, just as a side point, and this is not mentioned in the explanation, but Sheikh Al-Albani discusses it in a lot of detail. I remember this at university, actually. But وَمَنْ لَا يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. That whoever does not judge or rule by what Allah has revealed, then they are the literally al-kafirun. Okay, but then Ibn Abbas, and this is what people use to make takfir actually, so which is very dangerous. But then Ibn Abbas said that this is not as people think, but this is kufr dun kufr. Okay, so that's an example. So it shows actually that it's quite relevant that we understand the text correctly, because people can then go to an extreme and then say, well, this guy did this, therefore he's a kafir, therefore, waliyadu billah, his blood is halal then, which is obviously wrong. Yeah, that's why it's so important to get this right. Okay, but there are lots of hadith. So you may, hopefully you might have heard of these. So ithnatan fin nas huma bihim kufur, at-ta'un fin nasab wan niyaha ala al-mayyit. Two things are found amongst the people, which are kufr. The word is kufr, okay? Slandering one's lineage and wailing upon the dead, okay? And there's another hadith which is, that's the next slide actually. But this is another hadith. La tarji'u ba'di kuffara yadribu ba'dukum riqaba ba'd. So don't revert to kufr after me striking the necks of one another, meaning fighting and killing one another. Okay, and again, just a side point. There's an ayah which shows that even though it's a very severe sin, there's no doubt it's one of the most serious sins to fight and kill a Muslim. But there's an ayah which shows that it's not actually kufr that makes you not Muslim. Do you know the ayah at all? It's in Hujurat at all? No online at all? So, and again, this is not mentioned here, but when ta'ifatani min al-mu'minin iqtatalu. So, if two groups from the believers fight against one another, so Allah actually says that they're fighting against one another. Faslihu bainahuma. But Allah actually calls them believers. Okay, so that's linked to that hadith. Okay, and then this is the hadith which I was remembering actually. Sibabul muslimi fusuq wa qitaluhu kufr. That insulting a Muslim is fisq, okay, is a severe evil, and fighting against him is kufr, okay. And then the same thing applies with fisq, because sometimes Allah mentions al-fasiqeen, and he's referring clearly to disbelievers, but in other occasions it's so you've got major fisq and lesser fisq as well, so that concept is there, okay. And actually, so to go back to the beginning of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that I was shown the hellfire, okay? And this was in the eclipse prayer. Does anyone know what the Prophet did when he was actually leading the prayer? Do you remember at all? So he's leading the prayer, and he did a long prayer. So the eclipse happened, and then they gathered in the mosque, and then they started the prayer. And the eclipse prayer is unusual because it's got two rukus and two sajdas in each rak'ah. But then, when the Prophet was leading, and it was a long prayer, he actually took a he moved back slightly, and then after a while he moved forwards. Okay, so when everything was said and done, then the companions asked him, you move back and then move forward. So what happened? So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that I said that I was shown the hellfire, and then I was shown Jannah. So when I when he saw. And he saw the hellfire. Obviously, this is a miracle that he saw the hellfire, and then he saw paradise. But that's why he moved back to retreat away from it. And then when he saw Jannah, he moved forward towards it. Okay. And then he said that the majority of its inhabitants were women, so indicating that it's a common sin or a common trait. But it's a major sin, as we said. It's a major sin, and does not mean that they would be in the hellfire forever. But it's a purification from that sin. Okay. So why? So then they were asked, obviously, why, they were asked, was it because they disbelieved in Allah? And then the Prophet said, Yakfurna. So that's the, it is again the same word, Yakfurna, that they, the women, committed kufr, or they were ungrateful to their husbands, ungrateful for the favors they received from them, that they had been treated well continuously over a long time, over throughout their marriage, as it were. But then if he falls short in one thing or on one occasion, or maybe he's simply not able, maybe he can't afford such and such or whatever, then she might say, I've never seen any good from you, or other similar, other similar inappropriate or harsh statements. Okay. And so Sheikh Abdul Razak was explaining that if a woman were to do this, then this harms herself and she angers her Lord through that, and that this is a lesser kufr. Okay, also. Okay, yeah. So tabarruj. So this is another thing which is mentioned in the hadith, another reason why, because obviously people have different groups of people have the propensity to fall into different sins. So another sin which women may fall into is tabarruj. You know what tabarruj is? Oh. No? So tabarruj is basically not following the hijab and going out naked. Tabarruj al-jahiliyyah. So basically, going out for women to go out naked and revealing their beauty and enticing people, and being happy to attract people, and so on. So that's obviously something which is. Which is not good, it's not Islamic, and it's not appropriate. Okay. And so there's another hadith, and this is in Silsila Hadith al-Sahihah, خير نسائكم الودود الولود المواتية المواسية إذا اتقين الله، وشر نسائكم المتبرجات المتخيلات وهن المنافقات، لا يدخل الجنة منهن إلا مثل الغراب الأعصم. So the best of your women are loving, fertile, agreeable, and comforting if they fear Allah. And the worst of your women reveal their beauty. They take pride in their appearance, meaning inappropriately in front of people they shouldn't do. And they are hypocrites. None of them will enter paradise except as rarely as you see a red-beaked crow. Okay, so it's a type of crow which has white wings, and the hadith explains it has, or the sheikh explained, has white wings, or in a version it says a red-beaked crow has red feet or something like that. So it's a very rare type of crow out of all the other crows. And there is another similar hadith. I didn't translate this actually, sorry, but بينما نحن مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في هذا الشعب إذ قال انظروا هل ترون شيئا فقلنا نرى غراب غربانا فيها غراب أعصم أحمر من قار ورجلين. So they were in a certain location with the Prophet, and he said, "Do you see anything?" And they said, "We can see this kind of crow, which is al-ghurab al-a'sam, which has a red beak and feet." فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يدخل الجنة من النساء إلا من من كان منهن مثل هذا الغراب في غربان. So just in, again, it's the same kind of explanation that in this context, of the women, a small number, relatively small number, will enter paradise. So then, just to close, then he said that one should, so that for the advice for the women, that they should be very cautious about ingratitude to the husband and tabarruj. And the ayah which you mentioned, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى, and be settled in your homes and do not display yourselves or reveal your adornment as was the display of the former times of ignorance. And he also said, the Sheikh also said, that this is the importance of good companions, because some of the women, if they have bad character, then they might incite one another against their husband and said, oh, you know, why are you patient with him and he's like this and why do you tolerate this and so on. So that's a bad influence, obviously. Okay. I was going to do the next, what time is it actually? I was going to do the next hadith, but I didn't get a chance to prepare it, but I could just at least read it and then next time we can go through it. So this is another, so the concept here, so previously he was talking about kufr, the phrase kufr, and now he's, Imam Bukhari is referring to jahiliya, okay, or ignorance. So jahiliya is obviously, you know what jahiliya is referring to specifically? Yeah, before the Prophet. So they're, the time before the Prophet was jahiliya, the time of ignorance. Yeah. So there were customs or traits or practices which are from jahiliya, right? So in the same sense, obviously jahiliya is referring to the era of disbelief, if you like, before the Prophet. But again, according to the context, it may well not be jahiliya. It's a major sin or a serious matter. So so Abu Dharr, the narrator of the hadith said that I met Abu Dharr, who was wearing a cloak, and his slave was wearing the same kind of clothes, the same cloak. And I asked him about it. So he said, "Inni sababtu rajulan, فعيرته بأمه فقال للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أبا ذر أعيرته بأمي إنك امرؤ فيك جاهلية." Okay, so, oh Abu Dharr, did you insult? So actually, I think in another narration, if I'm not mistaken, he said to his slave, "Oh, you son of a black woman." Yeah, I think that's mentioned actually. So he said, he was insulting him, "Oh, you son of a black woman." Ibn al-Sawda. Okay, which obviously is not obviously not a very bad thing to say at all. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam rebuked him and said, "Oh Abu Dharr, are you rebuking him or abusing him on the basis of his mother? Indeed, you are someone who has a trait of jahiliyyah." Okay. And then the Prophet went on to say, "Your slaves are your brothers, and Allah has put them under your command. So whoever has his brother under his command should feed him the like of what he eats, and he should dress him with the clothing, the same type of clothing that he wears. And do not ask them to do something which is too overburdening for them. And if you do, then you should help them in that." Okay. So that's the next thing. Okay, but we'll cover that in more detail, inshallah. Inshallah.